All-Star game, just phenomenal.
Oh man, I cannot believe, insert name here, three home runs. That is incredible. Why did Terry Collins leave in his pitcher for 12 innings? That is something he usually only does during the season.
Bartolo Colon, I think. Oh my god, my computer sucks. You know those
Oh my god, are you gonging me?
No, it's this dumb McAfee. I don't care about McAfee. Get out of here.
That's probably. Razzball probably gave you a virus. My bad.
Well, yes, obviously the All-Star game was awesome. We obviously watched it and obviously recorded this. Oh my god, what in the hell? All
right, What is that?
I don't know. It's telling me I need McAfee again. It expires in 3 days. I don't care. I'm not spinning that. I don't care if there's viruses.
Oh, man. It's like we should just do a – we should try and do a podcast where there's two solo cups tied together with a string.
Oh, my God. This is so annoying. If it does that again, we might actually have to pause this because I'm keeping all that in. I don't really care.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why look professional now, JP?
Oh, speaking of looking professional, lots of good feedback on the interview, Greg. Good job. Woo!
the best was someone asked J-Rong in the comments last week what happened to part two of the Canseco interview. And Jay, of course, Jay is busy with fantasy football, so he doesn't pay attention to anything that's going on in baseball. And he was like, I think that's JB or Gray where the other half of the interview is. I'm sorry.
The other.
I'm totally serious. Jay, that guy's just fucking with you. There's no second half.
So how was the podcast with Jay? I'm sorry, I didn't listen to it yet, but I will. I will, Gray. I promise.
Besides him trying to talk either football or games as Game of Thrones, it was. Actually, we talked like a good 35 minutes about Chase Headley.
Oh my god.
Jay loves Chase Headley. I can't get it up. And you know what? We can say whatever because he won't listen to the podcast, apparently.
What was up with the title? Why am I a Mormon?
Oh, and obviously you don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Because he said that he only fills in for you when you're going to get married or something. So he said that. You must be going to get married again.
Well, I did have an awesome time, Gray. You want to hear my DC story?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm kind of forcing you anyway.
All right, go ahead.
So it's the top of the sixth. Bases are loaded. Brewers masher Ramon Flores is up to bat.
Yeah, he's no Hernan Perez. Oh my god, he's not bad.
Hey, the Brewers won. They won 1-0 in just a thriller. Junior Guerra outpitching Scherzer. Anyway, so Flores, bases loaded, first pitch hits the most boring routine flyout to Bryce Harper, and I'm in right field. And Harper turns and throws it to the crowd right to me. I got my first ball. Yeah, Bryce Harper threw it right to me. It was awesome. So then I'm in my Brewers shirt. I'm obviously huge. So I turn to the crowd and start pimping my Brewers jersey.
Wait a second. So since you're so big, was there any chance anyone else in that section of seats could have gotten the ball?
Except for the... I don't know if it would have mattered that much. It was right to me, like dead center.
Was he throwing it to you, or was he throwing it to any 40 seats that you were covering?
Ah, that's a good point. I think Bryce Harper just was like, oh, I'll aim for the fat one. I don't know. So I turned to the crowd, and I started pimping my jersey, and the whole section just rains in boos. It was incredible. But I turned, and I gave it to a little Nationals girl. And everyone cheered me. It was awesome. And then after the next inning, I went into the league, and everyone gave me high fives on the way up. And true story, a dude in the men's room while I'm pissing goes, hey, way to give that ball up.
Aww, that's nice. So there was three people at the stadium, or was the guy following you to the bathroom beat your ass?
There was more than three people. Yes, I cannot dispute if I was followed into the bathroom. Maybe wearing a Luke Roy jersey, you know, means something.
He was like, "I want to see the big guy pee. Let's go."
But an inning or two later, she handed it to me and asked if I wanted a picture with it. I took a picture with it. I'll put it up on the podcast. It was awesome. My first ball. So,
nice. Did you sign Bryce Harper on the ball for the low girl? You should have, but spelt it Bruce Harper. here you go, kid. Go put that on eBay.
And guess how I got the seats for that game, Gray?
Bryce Harper sent them to you.
He threw the tickets to me. And that's how SeatGeek started.
Oh, wait. Maybe was it the guy in the bathroom? SeatGeek. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting your promo. I thought it was a legitimate question how you got the tickets.
My transition went over your head. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been confusing for a long time. Not on SeatGeek. SeatGeek's different. They've made an amazing app and website that make it easier than ever to buy and sell sports tickets like I did for the Brewers game there in D.C. It's always the first place I go for tickets from now on. I've got it on my phone. It's really easy. You see dark green, light green, yellow, and red for your best deals on seats. And best of all, it helps you get the best bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given those grades based on value. To get a $20 rebate, $20 rebate sent to you, not $20 store credit. They send you $20. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, add a promo code, put in promo code RAZZMLB, RAZMLB, all caps, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket. Download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code RAZMLB today, and I will personally guarantee whatever tickets you buy next, Bryce Harper will throw a baseball with you.
I just realized something. Okay. SeatGeek gives $20 in cash, which I'm sure they do that. But I don't think we've been paid yet for that sponsorship. Maybe I should contact someone about that. All right. Anyway, that's my internal.
Yeah. Way to just go inside Razzball way too much. That's your job, Greg. I'm just the moron that hits record on something.
I should get the guy who followed you into the bathroom as the guest.
So, Gray, let's take a look at the second half. Are you excited for the second half of the season?
I am, yeah. Yeah, it's a little weird not having baseball. I'll be honest, it's a little strange. I just picked up Jim Johnson and dropped Josh Bell from my RCL team. Even though there's no games today, I just was like, you know what, in case Vizcaino gets traded in the next couple days and I'm not by a computer, I'm going to do this right now. And yeah, that's how OCD I am. I'm still making moves on the waiver wire, even though there's absolutely no game.
You've got to get to your 100,000 moves per league quota. Oh my God, that's so annoying.
You're the annoying one. I hate you.
Speaking of hate, we are going to yell at each other so much because for the rest of the podcast, I'm going to yell at Gray for his top 100 ranks for the second half.
Did you, before, I should have asked you this before we started, but just to make sure, you have Josh Donaldson at number 11, right?
I have him at number 11. What? Yeah. I don't do ranks. Get out of here.
No, I'm saying my ranking.
Oh,
at number 11.
I see what you're saying. Yes, yes. The okay, one I'm looking at.
No, because I updated it since I gave you the link. Okay, got it.
Oh my god. Why are you like? Yeah, this is like an internal only Razzball podcast. Apparently,
this is interesting for some of the people at home.
Hold on, does the
or in the bathroom following you? This is interesting stuff.
Yes, I'm looking at a post draft preview submitted by Gray. Oh my god.
I know because I had Donaldson a little bit lower the other day. Like I gave you the post. The top 100, I think, on what, Saturday? And then yesterday, I did a few tweaks and I moved Donaldson up a little bit, and because I felt like Donaldson should be above Sterling Marte.
All right, well, tweaking, there's going to be lots more tweaking after I grill you on this. Of course, everyone listening, this is already posted live now, so there'll be no changes past that. So let's get into it, Gray. Your top 100 ranks for the rest of the season, and I want to start with your pitchers because I am pitcher focused. And why do you think Kershaw's not going to come back, right?
Well, I don't know if he's going to. I mean, I think he's going to come back, but he doesn't come back for like 3 weeks. He's going to miss like four or five starts.
Really?
So,
I thought he was coming back sooner than that.
No, he's coming back end of July at the earliest. So you figure he misses 2 weeks. That's four starts. Four starts is pretty big when you only have, you know, at most 14 starts for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I don't have him that low, but I do have him below Scherzer and Bumgarner and Sale, yeah.
Los Angeles Times writer Andy McCullough says that it's possible the lefty could come back his second turn in the rotation after the All-Star break.
Okay, yeah, I guess it's possible, sure.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, I think Kershaw's obviously the best pitcher if he's healthy, and he is... And he's set to start the first game after the All-Star break, but he's not. So I had to drop him a couple. I mean, I didn't drop him that far, but I did drop him behind, you know, the top three of Scherzer, Bumgarner, and Sale.
All right. I have them Kershaw, Bumgarner, then Scherzer. So Bumgarner, obviously. And I swear, I did my re-rank Sunday afternoon right before Bumgarner had his epic game on Sunday Night Baseball. Oh my god, he looked good.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. I was contemplating making him the lead well, now it's Monday. In Monday's post, because he almost did throw the no-hitter. Actually, it was almost a perfect game, but it was already written with Kimbrel in mind, so I was like, whatever. No one cares that much. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. I feel like Scherzer at 6 and Bumgarner at 15. I think that's too much a disparity. Now, where you put the pitchers, whatever. I don't rank them amongst hitters. That's hard to do. But I think you have Scherzer a little high.
Well, that's a good point that we could talk about for a second. Like, Chris Sale, I have above Bumgarner, even though I think Bumgarner is probably going to have better ratios, but I think Chris Sale's in a position where he could get maybe an extra win or two, and he also will probably get a couple more Ks. So I have Sale a little bit above Bumgarner, but in the grand scheme of things, I have him by Miguel Cabrera. So like Miguel Cabrera, if you have him and you're looking to trade, if you're looking for a pitcher, I would take Sale, I would take Scherzer, Sale, Bumgarner, or even probably Kershaw. Like, if you need a pitcher and Cabrera is tradable for your team, it doesn't really matter, like, where, you know, he is compared to the pitchers because it's apples and oranges. So I have Miguel Cabrera right there with Bumgarner, but I could see trading Miggy for as low as, like, a Kershaw or even a Strasburg. If you need a pitcher, Miggy's not going to help you.
All right, Gran, what I need you to do is every commenter that asks, you're going to have to do your rest of season top 100 for every person's roster. That's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, no, I know. No, the best will be the following week. Like, yes, things do change. They do. I realize that. But when someone says, oh, could you rank David Price and Jose Fernandez and DeGrom, like, and it's like 3 days after the top 100 posts. Like, you can just look at the top 100. I mean, those guys are not changing all that dramatically.
Oh, I inevitably get five or six a year on my pitcher profiles that are like, how would you rate these three pitchers rest of season?
Yeah.
It's like, look up.
Yeah, speaking of David Price and you traded me David Price, but you have him way above Chris Archer in your ranking.
I wanted another closer, and I was just frustrated with Price, and I figured I'll go upside of Archer. I mean, I guess they have similar upside, and Price is safer, but I figured getting a closer, and I knew you were frustrated with Archer, was kind of worth it.
Yeah, I think David Price might be my biggest buy for the second half for pitchers.
Yeah.
I think right now, you've looked at his, his peripherals look incredible.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of unlucky stuff going on. I don't know. I mean, he just was very frustrating to own. Any Price owner knows that. But I know Archer was frustrating to own, so.
Oh, Archer's still frustrating to own. Enjoy that.
I know. Well, I wanted to get another closer. I lost my epic number one closer, Fernando Rodney.
Oh, poor JD.
My team's not that good anyway, but I'm still trying. I feel like I've made my offense better, and then my pitching started falling apart. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
All right, back to your ranks, Gray.
Okay,
why do you hate Jose Altuve so much? Why?
I don't know. Do I?
Yeah, by far the number one player on the Razzball Fantasy Baseball Player Rater. By far, $44.1 amount to 41 to bets. It's a pretty big fall off there.
Yeah. No, you're right. Altuve has been number one just about the entire season too, because he had a huge April. I don't know. I don't hate him. I just feel like at this stage in the game, if you're getting Jose Altuve, he is valuable. So it's hard. I don't want to say too much like negative about him, but like if you were to get Altuve and he hits say seven homers and steals 20 bases the rest of the way, is that dramatically better than say Rizzo with 20 homers, or 20 homers is a little bit high, but maybe say Rizzo hits 17 homers in the second half and you just get steals off of the waivers. It's like Altuve, I feel like, can be made up for in the matter for 2 months that you're going to have Altuve for, August and September. Well, I guess like 10 weeks. So for the 10 weeks, you're going to have Altuve. I just think that there's other guys that are slightly more valuable that I'd prefer just because of what they're going to give you. Altuve is great, but, if you were to trade for him tomorrow and he gave you a 320 average for 10 weeks, it's not going to – if you have a 260 average already, it's not going to really move the needle that much for you if you're unless someone is right above you at 261. But, it depends on what you need. But I just feel like Altuve doesn't move the needle as dramatically. He's more of a guy who gets he fills every category. Whereas in 10 weeks, you kind of want guys that fill one category. Like I can see trading Altuve for, say, Chris Davis if you really need power because – Chris Davis could hit 25 homers in the second half, and Altuve is more of like, he's runs, a few homers, RBIs, average, and steals. So Altuve gives you everything, which is great, and that ends up being more valuable in the big picture, and that's why he's on the top of the player rater. But when you have a guy like, say Giancarlo has not been anywhere near as good as Altuve, but if you need big time power, Altuve is not gonna do that for you. So I don't know. I do like Altuve though. You're picking nits a little bit. I mean, I haven't.
That's what this whole podcast is gonna be. Greg, get ready for it. So I'm gonna count. I'm gonna point counterpoint myself here. What you're saying is we talk about this in basketball a lot. Is someone who's a metrics whore, someone that has good percents and is good across the board and doesn't turn it over. That's kind of what Altuve is. Kind of like what Pollock did last year, right?
Yeah.
So while I agree with that, all the examples you gave are only if you're trading Altuve for power. And that's really
okay.
The only...
Yeah, no, that's true. Yes, power, but power comes... I don't want to say responsibility, but it comes RBIs.
Well, Altuve's got 51 this year. He's going to blow away his career high. He hits after Springer. And have you looked at his walk rate? He's doubled his career walk rate this year. So I think the average is going to stay up. He's going to blow away his runs. He's going to get 110, 115 runs. I mean, he does everything that a power hitter is going to do except for the home run category. I know the argument for getting power is, yeah, you get the run and the RBIs with it. But Altuve's doing that.
Right. Yeah, no, I agreed. But like, say someone like Springer, who isn't a huge homer guy, but if he hits, you know, if he gets 15 homers in the second half and steals 10 bases, and Altuve gets 720, is it really that different? No, it's different because of the average that Altuve is going to give you. But the average over 10 weeks isn't, you know, it just doesn't move the needle as much as average over a full season, whereas, you know, Altuve will end up more valuable than Springer in the long run, but I don't know. For a short period of time, Springer could be more valuable, and, you know, I think it's a gamble worth taking, but even though I have Springer after Altuve in the rankings.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I've seen...
Using guys that are above him, like Arenado... Arenado I have above Altuve. So I have Arenado with, you know, 10 less runs, 10 more RBIs. So we'll say that's a push. And then average, the only thing that's really a huge difference on Arenado and Altuve is the average, which is, you know, there's a 30-point average thing. But that's getting made up with, you know, I feel like with the upside of the homers and everything else, whereas Altuve's got... I feel like Altuve's got nothing but downside.
Well, he's got 20 steals. Or yeah. You're projecting him for 20 more steals. Yeah, that's right. A different than Arenado, and he, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. But I think, you know, Sagnoff can get steals. Steals are a lot easier to get, even though steals are down across the board in the majors. I still think steals are easier to get on waivers. I can go on waivers right now and pick up Jared Dyson. Now, is Dyson a black hole in every other category? Yes, but if you were to platoon Dyson in and get 15 steals in the second half, you've made up for a lot of what Altuve would have gave if you had Arenado instead of him.
But then the problem of that is in an RCL that takes up a roster spot, then you don't have a relief pitcher to get strikeouts and chase saves. And
yeah, well, there's always trade-offs. Yeah, no, I agree.
I just think you're too low. I've seen Altuve number one in a lot of people's rest of season ranks. I'd probably put him three behind Trout and Harper.
Okay.
Now, you know, obviously this is it changes. If you need power, you have Josh Donaldson 11. Sure, I'll trade Altuve for Donaldson if you're like 30 steals ahead of the pack. But, you know.
You have, so you would put Altuve in front of Chris Bryant.
Yeah, I think so.
And in front of Goldie, in front of Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
All right.
He's been better than him so far, and there's no measurables that say Altuve is going to slow down.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. And I don't think he is going to slow down. I think Altuve he's going to be fine in the second half. I just prefer what some of the other guys are giving more than Altuve. And I own Altuve, and he's been fine on the team I have him. But he's also, you know, I also have Rizzo on that team. And somehow that team is not doing well.
That makes no sense. All right, let's move on from Altuve.
Right. Anyway.
Your love affair for Starling Marte just knows no bounds.
Oh, my God. You can't be pointing out Altuve on the player rater and then say Marte's all about my love. Yeah, he's in the top 15 on the player.
Oh, wow, he's 13. Okay, never. I rescind that. I did not realize how many steals has he gotten in the past month. Must be a lot.
It must be a lot. I like a well-formed argument.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's Marte. Marte has 30 steals.
Okay, I thought I didn't realize he was doing this well. I thought I remembered looking him up like a month ago.
Marte is on pace for a 15-45 season, which is basically what Pollock was last year.
I think the reason Marte was held down in some other measurables is the low RBI total. And for a player that's stealing this much and hitting .316, only 48 runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably mostly because it's weird where he's been. I think for the most part, I want to say he's been batting in like the five hole. So you're in a position where he should get RBIs, but he's not because McCutchen's been struggling. But then he gets on base and no one's driving him in.
Yeah.
because the Pirates, I don't know, you know, the Clint Hurdle's a mess with that lineup. So. Yeah, but individually, on his own, Marte is doing really well. I mean, he has six homers and 30 steals with a .316 average right now.
He has 9 steals in the last 8 games. So I'm not crazy to not realize he had that many steals. Okay.
Oh, all right.
Xander Bogaerts, I agree with his rank. You have him 18. Could he be a first rounder next year?
Yeah, I think so. I think I actually even should have had him higher in not only the preseason this year, but also probably on this in this top 100. I think Bogaerts is another one that's getting shortchanged a little bit, like Altuve, but even more so because Bogaerts is really a counting stat whore. I mean, he's all about the runs and RBIs and batting average, whereas. You know, he won't even get the huge amount of steals like an Altuve, and he won't get big time power either. Even though, I mean, this year he's got 10 homers and 11 steals so far, which, you know, that's kind of blah. But when you throw in the 65 runs he has and the 56 RBIs and the .329 average, you know, he's definitely been. He's a top 10 guy on the player radar right now, and he probably will finish much lower than top 15.
I love that my metrics whore has taken over your brain. You use the same phrase.
You've invented. You've invaded my brain. Thank you for giving me a earworm.
I was gonna go with gonorrhea, but or is it syphilis? Whichever one it is, I don't know.
That's tapeworm of the ear.
What I wanted to stem from that is. I have a feeling Bogaerts might be like an end of the first rounder, and Lindor might be like third round. And are they really that different?
I would definitely go Lindor then if that was the case. I don't think Lindor is going to fall that far. I think Lindor right now is probably you might not be that off. It depends on what he does in the second half of the season, but. Right now, I would want Lindor. If they were ranked like that, I would want Lindor in the third round over Bogaerts in the first. But if it is closer to like, I see Lindor being probably a 20 to 25 guy. So, I mean, it depends. I guess in a 12 team league, the top 25 is still the second round, pretty much. But. Yeah, I would say probably no lower than 25 overall, and Bogaerts probably not lower than 15 overall for next year is my guess. I think there's still a lot of baseball to be played, so things could change. But I think Lindor, he gets if he ends the season with 20 homers and 20 steals and a 300 plus average, it's going to be real hard to deny him the top 20 even.
Yeah, that's true. For Gregory Polanco, you mentioned that you had him top 20 overall going into the year. yet he's down to 26 right now.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I had him in the top 20 in my original top 20 overall, but then before I posted it, I moved him. That's what I said. I felt like I moved him. He ended up being, I believe, top 35. I didn't move him that far down, but I had him way above anyone else. I mean, people were ranking him 120 overall. So,
well, that was dumb, but
No, I agree. Other people are dumb. I agree with that every time. You don't have to argue on that. No, but with Polanco, I feel like he is someone who is, you know, he's like one of those players that gives power and speed. So it's really hard for him to be that awful. I mean, he could, I don't want to jinx him. I guess he could be terrible. But like last year, he had 9 homers and 27 steals. That alone is like, if he has the counting stats to go with that, that alone is a top 50 player. So it was a pretty easy call in the beginning of the year for me to say Polanco is a, he's a top 50 guy, easy. He's actually been low on speed so far this year, but like you just said with Marte, I mean, Polanco could steal 7 bases in a week and suddenly have, 20 steals going into August. So, yeah.
You worried about his, I feel like he's had a bunch of leg injuries.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they've been all minor.
Yeah. I think he probably would have played today if there was games. I think they just gave him a couple days off going into the break.
You're probably
right. To get his legs fresh. I think he's going to be okay.
All right. How about Robinson Cano this year? I own him in all my non-NL-only teams except the Pirates RCO. Oh, my God. That team's awful. But it's been fun because, remember, we argued about Cano. I brought that up last show.
Yeah. No, and I did. And I moved him way up from the preseason. I'm sick of fighting the Cano thing.
The Cano contingent.
You and Cano have won this round, my friend. I am not fighting that anymore. We'll revisit next preseason. I may be down on him again, but as of right now, he's headed for probably 33, 34 homers this year, and it was a great year to have him. I missed on Cano big time.
Then you have a big pitcher's run. I think I've got most of that about the same. I've got Price down a little bit more, Salazar down a tiny bit more. You really still hate Jake Arrieta, though. And you're fine. I bet every time you're seeing his bad starts lately, you're like, woo! Look at me.
You see his numbers. I mean, his numbers are not his xFIP and his. His BABIP was way low. He had issues with his. His walks are way up. He's not pitching as well as he was pitching last year. I mean, he's not like I have him. Where do I have him? Like top 7, top 8. Like I don't think he's necessarily garbage. I just don't think he's a top 3 pitcher right now. And I don't see the argument to say he is either. Like if you look at his numbers, it's pretty clear that he is not he's not as good as he was last year, and it doesn't look like he's not trending in that direction either. So I don't know the argument to say I'm that much further down on him than I should be.
No,
you're
not.
I think I'm about right.
I have him 4, and I mean I could quibble with him versus Sale. I have Sale 5. I mean they're similar.
Yeah, and I mean, Syndergaard.
Syndergaard, he fell in mine too. I'm worried about that.
Yeah, Syndergaard I had higher, but then he left to start with a fatigued arm, and he has, the Mets threw all of their pitchers for about 120 innings too many last year. Like, they had, all of their pitchers were like, they had their arms on ice for a good 3 months after the season ended. There's major issues coming into this year. And I think a lot of us just figured, at least I did, that, they were young enough and they had enough innings leading into it that they'd be okay, but I think we're seeing, you know, the effects of last playoffs, last postseason, with Syndergaard especially, with Harvey especially, and Syndergaard is also having issues now. Mats has issues. DeGrom is nowhere near where he was last year. His, he's down in a lot of peripherals. I think DeGrom's velocity is off more than just about any of them, aside from maybe Mats. I don't know. I don't know Mats' velocity off the top of my head, but DeGrom's velocity is, you know, it's way off. And so it's hard. It's hard to get really, like, pumped about those guys. But, you know, if there's only 10 weeks left, so if you can get Syndergaard to stay on the mound for, you know, 12 more starts and be productive, it's probably worth it to gamble if you really need a starter and you can't, you know, you can't get a sale off of someone. If you have to trade for a starter and you can't get a sale and all you can get is like a Syndergaard, then yeah, I would take the gamble for sure. But I would also know that, you know, Syndergaard could be shut down in August for a good 6 weeks. Who knows?
DeGrom's velocity 1.8 miles an hour lower than last year. So there you go.
Yeah.
And agree with you. Syndergaard's worth the gamble. I just don't know how willing people will be to trade him with how good he's been either. So,
right.
Moving along. You think Andrew McCutchen's going to bounce back just fine, huh? You've got him 42.
I don't know. I debated him. It wasn't an easy call with McCutchen. I think what really sort of sealed what had me move him up was, you know, his ability to stay. He's been in the lineup. He gets counting stats, his runs and RBIs, and he's been hitting for some power. He's above even where he was last year for power. So I don't think the steals are going to come back. I'm concerned the average may not really go anywhere near where it's been in the past because his K's are up.
Yeah.
If his name were Kobe Rasmus, I probably wouldn't have ranked him. So, yeah. In other words, I'm going on name value a little bit, which, you know, there's something to name value. At least you know what you're going to get, and you know he's going to stay in the lineup. Like, there's no way Clint Hurdle's going to be like, well, we're going to put McCutchen in a platoon. Like, that's never going to happen. He's going to be there, and he'll, you know, he should be able to get at least 10 homers and, 37 to 42 runs in RBIs. So that alone is worth it. I'm a little bit optimistic on his average for the second half, but, you know, anything can happen with average, so hopefully.
Man, so he is going to the break hot, which is good to see. Multi-hits in three of his last six, home runs in his last two games. He has six RBIs his last three games. Before that, he had 32 RBIs on the year.
Yeah.
That
sounds downright Freddie Freeman-ish.
Wow. Freeman is looking at that and be like, oh, I'm glad I'm not in that lineup.
I know.
That's awful.
That brings up a good point. Is the Pirates' offense that terrible? Let me see.
No, it's because they're hitting Polanco and Marte behind them most of the time, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's interesting because, yeah, the Pirates really isn't that bad of a lineup when you look at their stats.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure why McCutchen's RBIs were that low. I would say it's just stupid John Jaso hitting leadoff, which is...
It's stupid hair. Oh, my God. Every time I see Kid Rock playing for the Pirates, it frustrates me.
No, it's Snow from Informa. Boom, boom, down. Do you know anything I'm saying right now?
I have no idea what any of those words or songs meant.
Okay, that's because you were born in 2004. now McCutchen's been batting second, so he should have the runs and at least some more RBIs.
The runs were okay, but those 32 RBIs for half the season before the last few games. Yeah. right, Gray, we've got to move along. We got a lot more ranks to go through here.
Okey-dokey.
Why do you like Kyle Seager so much? Oh my God, top 50 for Kyle Seager?
Yeah. Why? What's wrong, Kyle Seager?
Well, I feel like Kyle Seager.
He's top 40 right now in the player rating.
I know. Well, I feel like he started slow. And everyone was like, oh, don't worry, Kyle Seager will be his 260, 25 home runs. And now he's red hot, and no one's like, I still think he might be 260 and 25 home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. I think, you know, he doesn't necessarily like his fly balls are up this year. So, I mean, it's not like it doesn't look like his peripherals are definitely, like, by far, like, out of whack. I mean, he just looks like he's hitting more fly balls, and he's got a couple extra homers due to it. His walks are up, which is good, so he could have a little bit better average. I don't know. I mean, I think even if he were, say he were a 27 homer, 265 guy, that's around a top 70 hitter overall. So, you know, top 50 to top 70, it's not really that. I mean, it's not dramatically off. Maybe I was swayed a little bit because of how well he did in the first half, but yeah, it doesn't look like he's necessarily due to, like, just collapse in the second half.
No, I don't think so either. I'd probably have him if I did these 60-ish, and that's barely different, so.
Yeah, well, I think I have a bigger problem with where I ranked Longoria, but.
Yeah, Longoria, 58. What about the year he's having? It's been incredible.
Yeah, I know. He's been okay. He has. I mean, he hasn't been amazing. Right now, he's 80 overall in the player rating.
Oh, wow, I thought he'd be higher than that.
Nah, well, he has absolutely no speed. He's stolen zero bases, so he has a negative on steals, so that hurts. But yeah, he's been good for him. he's bounced back from where he was. He looks like he's gonna be just about exactly where he was in 2013 in his probably one of his better seasons of 32 homers and a 270 average. So yeah, Longoria has 19 homers. So you get maybe 12 to 13 more homers and decent RBIs and runs, and you take it to the bank. It's about all you can hope for. I don't think it's not gonna make or break a team, but it's a decent guy to fill out a lineup.
All right, how wrong was I on freaking Johnny Cueto? You have him in a good spot. Stupid Cueto. I did not think he'd be this good.
Yeah, there's a chance he could be so terrible against the AL All-Stars that it could ruin his confidence and just be terrible.
And he pulls like what he did with the Royals last year.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, no, I mean, if he's bad in the second half, he's suddenly going to be, like, he's going to get the label of, like, a first half guy. Everyone's going to be like, Cueto, it wasn't that he was diminishing in skills second half of last year. He's just not good in the second half. And then that'll be his label going forward next year. But, yeah, he's definitely been much better than you thought. That's for sure. But, his K's are not necessarily exceptional, so yeah,
he's been good though.
He's been great. Yeah,
so I have a question. Did you plug your projections you made into any sort of system to see where a player would come out?
No, I just sort of did it by feel,
because Mikel Franco, if he gets 29 runs with 12 homers and hits 271, I don't know if that's a 61 player.
I see what you're saying. that's actually a decent point. I don't know. I mean, he's not. It's hard because that's sort of going into the section where I'm really not sure what I'm expecting from a lot of these guys. Like Will Myers,
Oh, that's where I was going next. Oh, I was about to blow you up on Will Myers.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been so good in the first half, but, I mean, do you really, you trust them to be a top 10 overall player?
No, but I trust them to be better than Mikel Franco.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he wasn't last year. Will Myers has been real garbage at times.
And also, the numbers you project are all higher than Franco, even though you have Myers below Franco.
Yeah, I know, because I don't really trust them. There's a little bit of, like, how much I trust the guy baked in, too.
I understand. I mean,
yeah.
But
I wouldn't say, you know, David Ortiz is, you know, much better.
Definitely
his
Ortiz.
Numbers are better than Franco, but he also only has DH eligibility. So, you know, that I think that has to get played in a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I don't believe in position scarcity, but when you're looking at a guy who only has a DH eligibility, then you're hamstrung to try and get him into your lineup at times. Well, actually, he gets in your lineup, but other guys won't. So, yeah, it becomes difficult. Trevor Story is, you know, he was someone who I struggled with, too, because he was so good in the first half. But
yeah, I was going to bring him up. I actually have his game log up. I'm taking out his first 8 games, so last 73 games. 250 with 14 home runs. That's fine for
that's
you know
fine
for full season. That's
fine for Eugenio Suarez.
Well, yes,
right.
I'd rather have.
Right. No, I mean that's basically what that's Eugenio Suarez.
Oh, okay, I see what you're doing. Yeah, and I mean, which I guess is good. 102 strikeouts.
I mean, would you be totally shocked if Brandon Crawford gave you 14 homers in 73 games? I mean, that seems kind
So. I wouldn't be shocked. I guess now that I'm looking at it, where Story is compared to these other guys, that seems appropriate.
Yeah, that's kind of my section of like guys who really did well in the first half that I wasn't really 100% convinced I could move them up that well. I like Melvin Upton's there. Eduardo Nunez, he's been insane in the first half.
Yeah, well, that's someone I agree with that I don't think is going to be quite like this.
Yeah, I know, but he hasn't really cooled off dramatically. I mean, what's his, his June, for instance, or can we look at July? I don't know. It's kind of not that much time.
I'll pull up his baseball
July,
reference.
In July, he hit 333 in July, and June he hit 289. I mean, he's done it every month. It's not like he has this dramatic fall off after May or something. So it's, you know, like, yes, I don't trust him, but he hasn't necessarily done anything to, like, say, okay, he should be that much lower. So, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say.
Last 30 games, 297 with 3 homers and 10 steals. I mean, you'll take that 30 games from anyone, especially middle infielder. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, where do you put Nunez, you know, if you're saying he's going to do exactly the same? Does he go in the top 30 overall? He could, but I don't know. It's a big call to say, like, Nunez or Cano. Like, is that even close?
Is that
close in your mind? Because right now, because
Nunez
should
be, but
should be right. But Nunez has been more valuable than Cano this year.
Well, that plays into question, and I know we've talked about it before. I think it was you and me, not me and Rudy. I can't remember, but about how ESPN's player rater overweighs steals. I don't know how the Razzball player rater is factoring in steals.
No, well, we try. Rudy is a better person to talk to about it. But
get Rudy on the phone.
Rudy did a whole post a few years ago about how our player rater is more, it's better, it's a better gauge of value than the ESPN player rater because of that very reason. It does not weigh steals any more than anything else. It doesn't give preference to steals. Like there's not a huge difference if you look, like, quickly, if you look at ESPN's player rater versus ours. Like, Altuve bets Trout. Altuve bets Trout is our top three. And their top three is Altuve, Kershaw, Trout. And then Betts is number four. So it's like there's definitely differences, but it's not like insane differences where you're like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. Like on ESPN's Player Rater, Eduardo Nunez is number 11 overall for the entire season. And on ours, he's 15 overall. So Nunez has done it. Yeah, it's like he has done it in a way that's like, damn. Like, you know, like he should be ranked even higher than I have him, but I can't trust him completely.
Yeah.
And Robinson Cano on ours is 18th overall, and Robinson Cano on ESPN's Player Rater is 27th overall.
Yeah.
So they do, you know, they have some sort of, like, I think they weigh in positions, which we, you know, like Rudy's. And I also believe this, but positions don't really matter. Like if you're at positions for, unless you're looking at like getting a utility guy and not being able to then pick up guys off of waivers, positions don't really make a difference. Like if you get 25 homers from your second baseman, it's no better than getting 25 homers from your second outfielder. You're still getting 25 homers. It's still going to the same bottom line of your fantasy team stats. So, yeah, I think our Player Rater is better, but they're not that dramatically different. They're slightly off.
Yeah, I see VR 15 on ESPN 22 for us, so. Yeah, you can see that in the steals there. I'll be sure to link Rudy's post there in the podcast notes so you can find that easily there. Moving along, let's see what we got. You got a little closer run. Lance McCullers, 76, right ahead of Gerrit Cole. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't like... Gerrit Cole almost dropped off completely for me. I put him in because I felt like he's got talent and he could be much better than he was, but his first half, even forgetting the injury, his first half wasn't really that good.
I dropped him too.
I had real questions about Gerrit Cole looking at his stats. That was like, like there's something, I don't know if it was a mechanics thing or if it was something to do with the injury that now will be all better in the second half, but his first half, aside from his 2.77 ERA, his first half really wasn't that great.
He doesn't get a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't. McCullers, though, McCullers has a shit ton of walks. Like, his walks
His walk rate's awful right now.
His walk rate is so bad, but he has had better walk rates. So, if something clicks on him, he's got an 11.4 K per nine. So, McCullers' strikeouts are insane. McCullers could have, you know, 100 Ks in the second half, which is not an easy feat for any of the starters in the second half. You're only looking at, like I said before, only maybe 12 to 13 starts in the second half. So it's hard to get to 100 Ks. McCullers is getting booed. He's getting booed up by his Ks, and I'm not lowering him as I probably should due to his walks, but yeah, I think since he has had better walk rates in the past, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Whereas Cole, I'm a little concerned about for his lack of walks. So,
all right. Well, McCullers could also have 60 walks in the second half, which would be hard to do too.
Oh yeah, which could lead to a 5 ERA and getting bounce from the rotation.
I'm looking at his numbers.
I know, but another guy who could, Pineda, could have a 1.5 ERA in the second half with 100 Ks, but also he could have a 5.5 ERA. Like,
yeah.
It's so hard with some of these guys. Like, their peripherals are saying one thing, but then it's like, do you really want the aggravation? I almost actually put Pineda in the top 100 due to his Ks. I mean, Pineda's Ks and his xFIP look so good, and I dropped Pineda in our 12 team in our expert RCL. I dropped him because I just couldn't handle it anymore. But if you look at Pineda's peripherals, it doesn't get much better. I mean, he looks like a top 20 starter from his peripherals.
Yeah, I moved him up a good bit. With McCullers real quick, you remember we had that, it wasn't an argument, but I egged you on to talk about why strikeouts are so important. McCullers has a 5.37 walk rate and a 3.95 BABIP. Yet his ERA is 3.79. How is that possible? He's either walking, he's walking that many guys.
You know exactly how.
Because he's striking out a million people.
Yeah, exactly. Because he strikes out everyone. That's the only way a five plus walk rate may ever works is when a guy is striking out 11 plus guys per nine. McCullers could walk the bases loaded and then strike out the next three guys. So it's, you know, whereas if Tomlin were to walk the bases loaded, he'd probably be out of the game. He'd be out of the game by the second inning because he'd give up 12 runs.
Him and Fister, right? Well, speaking of low strikeouts, I know his strikeouts are down, and he just made up for a lot of it his last start. But you really don't like Carlos Martinez. You still owe me a dollar because he's still healthy.
I'll throw a dollar in the mail to you.
Thanks.
I think Carlos Martinez. I've come around a little bit on him because I think at this point it would just be being stubborn for stubborn's sake. He's healthy. His shoulder was an issue last September, but it doesn't seem like it's an issue anymore. I was unnecessarily worried for him, and he looks totally fine. His K's are still down, and his numbers themselves, aside from his ERA, his numbers are not amazing. They're fine. They're relatively good. Carlos Martinez has a 7.6 K per nine and a 3 walk rate. So that's a solid number two, moving towards a number three, depending on the size or depth of your league. But yeah, I mean, that's ownable though. And I didn't think Carlos Martinez would be ownable this year. So I was off on it.
I still think you're wrong with that. I watched his start, given the Brewers strikeout against everyone, but 11 strikeouts in 5 innings his last start. His stuff looked ridiculous. I think he's going to have a big second half.
The Brewers do strike out against everyone.
Yes. Well, I prefaced with that, Gray. That's what a preface is called. Okay?
Okay. All right. You're like, Two-Face from Batman? You're pre-face.
Felix Hernandez being this close to Carlos Martinez, 83 for C-Mart, 90 for Felix. Why is Felix in your top 100? Come on.
Yeah, there's another one that I wanted to drop him. He was another one that's like name value. His name value, I felt like, wasn't quite as much as like to get him any higher. I mean, I barely put him in the top 100, but yeah, I didn't feel confident about putting Felix Hernandez in the top 100. I'm not even sure if we're going to see 10 starts from him after the news today that he got hit around.
Yeah, he got knocked around.
He got knocked around A-ball. So, yeah, I'm not confident about him. I mentioned even in the post at one point that, you know, like the guys in the bottom 30 of the top 100 really aren't that different than the guys in the top 200. I mean, there's only 10 weeks left, so... If I, let's say, Adam Wainwright, for instance, who I'm not a huge fan of, but if he were to go on a 10-start run, he could be a top 20 pitcher in the second half. I mean, there's so much. Right now, the time is getting to the point where you're just going to have to go for hot hands eventually, whereas, like, you know, I like Dexter Fowler, for instance. He's at 99 overall, but... Him and Odubel Herrera, are they really that different? And I didn't even put in Odubel Herrera, but Odubel Herrera is probably 105 overall. So is him and Fowler, are they different now? Nah, they're not really that different. Or Justin Upton, who I ranked even though I really hate him. But it's like, you know, Hey, could he do something in the second half? Yeah, he probably he could.
All right, we know ranks are hard. We know ranks are hard.
Oh, wow. What was that? Why'd I get gonged there? You're gonging indiscriminately.
We have so much still to cover. Well, not that much. Last guy I did want to cover real quick. You are not buying Daniel Murphy. I want to see you and Rudy go fisticuffs against him because Rudy convinced me to get Murphy on a couple teams. I love you, Rudy.
I don't even know how I ended up with Murphy on a team. I have Murphy on a team too. And that's a team that has been in first the entire year and is probably gonna walk away with the championship. That team is so stacked. It's so ridiculous. I have Scherzer, DeGrom, Murphy, and it's an NL only team. I don't even know how I have some of these guys. It's like the most ridiculously stacked team. I have been in first by like 15 points for the last 3 months. Like since opening day, I've been in first. Daniel Murphy is just...
Get him up to 50. Get him up in the top 50. Yeah, come on. Mikel Franco, 30 spots ahead. Come on.
Yeah, no, that's kind of ridiculous.
at least you can admit it.
When you put it like that, man, I'm an idiot. I just don't trust Daniel Murphy to be anything more than a run RBI guy. I just don't believe the power. He passed his career high the other day. He has 17 homers now. His career high, I think, prior to that was 15 homers. So if he hit 4 or 5 homers the entire second half, it wouldn't shock me. I don't know. I mean, he's had 5 homers second halves before. So I'm being way too hard on Daniel Murphy in my rankings.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we know.
I'm an idiot. Just, you know.
All right. If you want to take advantage of people who are idiots with ranks and overrate players other than other players, go to No Halftime! One-on-one fantasy matchups using DFS points. It's a ton of fun. I play it every week. It's got every major sport on there. MLB, PGA. Pretty soon football's coming up. Basketball will be there. Hockey will be back. So get No Halftime now and put in promo code Razz, R-A-Z-Z, for $10 free. And then after you've done that promo code and then made a deposit on top of that, they'll send you a free shirt. It's awesome. Be sure to join the Razz Ball League. We're doing contests in there all the time. Contests start for as little as $0. You can play it for free to get your feet wet. All the way up to $100. I usually do $5 contests because I'm cheap and Gray won't even send me the dollar he owes me. So play No Halftime.
I will send it. Come on.
Oh, you better. It's got interest. It better have lots of interest on it. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, great. Before we wrap the show, I want to go through a couple people that you don't have in your ranks. What were you thinking?
Oh, God.
All right, so I'm looking at my pitchers. Zach Greinke, yes, he's on the DL, but it doesn't sound like it's that serious.
I almost put him. He was on the list of alternates. It was just a matter of space and the fact that he's injured and he's not in a good park. His Ks are way down. He's probably going to be a fine 3.5-ish ERA guy with 7+ Ks, which is probably around a top 100 starter overall. But yeah, I don't know. I couldn't justify moving him in since he's injured, and he hasn't been that great this year. Looking at his stats, so.
Oh, but you gotta take out the first few games. Which let's see here. I'm looking at his.
We're just cherry picking stats.
No, okay. His last 12 starts: 2.63 ERA, 67 strikeouts in 78 innings, 8-1.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you have him above Garrett Cole, which.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but...
Well, Garrett Cole's still on the deal.
No, I was going to say, they're probably not that different.
All right. Where's your boyfriend, Yu Darvish?
I have him. I put him... Yu Darvish in there, yeah.
Oh, my bad. I missed it.
He's at 84 overall.
Okay.
which is kind of ridiculous since he's only thrown 15 innings this year.
I knew he was your boyfriend for a reason.
But you never know. I mean, where do you have him? You probably have him around the same area.
I have him 22. Yeah, all these guys are in the same mix. And last one is Drew Pomeranz of my pitchers. I moved him up to 19. I mean, he's just...
Yeah, I think he's going to get shut down. That was why I left him off.
Why would they shut him down? He's like 27 now. He's got a lot of innings. They're going to trade him before they shut him down.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. He's never thrown more than... the amount of innings he's thrown already this year. He's already way past any point. I don't know. Maybe he gets up to 140 innings, which is another month of starts.
There's no way he doesn't pitch a lot more than that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right. I just don't trust him to do it. I think there could be he could get shut down at some point. So. Yeah,
they'll trade him to the Mets. The Mets will pitch him all the way through the World Series, and then he'll spontaneously combust.
And knowing how well the Padres trade, they'll probably get like Travis Deneau or something. They'll be like, oh yeah, we got a catcher. Look at how awesome we are. We are the Padres. We are so awesome.
Did you have, I went through your ranks pretty quick. Did you have Aledmys Diaz in there?
Yeah.
Sorry, I went too slow. No, you don't. My little computer ringed there.
No, I know.
So he's he's been.
What about him?
He's been right around 50-ish top overall.
Yeah, he has. There wasn't room for everyone.
Make room, Greg. You made 101. You went outside the top 100. Come on now.
I should actually see if anyone notices, and I should do like. Two players for each number, and be like, yeah, it's a top 100, and it's really like 200 players. I don't think maybe some people would notice. I don't know.
And then you hate catchers.
Most people would just be like, hey, what do you think of Russell Martin?
Yeah, see, there you go. You hate catchers. You did it even though I wasn't even there yet. You hate catchers. Why do you hate catchers?
Because catchers are useless.
Oh, Wilson Ramos is 58 on the Razzball Player Raider, and you knew this was coming. You are just so stubborn with Jonathan Lucroy. Come on.
My God, you need to stop. I'm going to do an embargo on Brewers. Like, there's not going to be any Brewers talk for one whole podcast. We're going to see if you can get through it.
Lucroy's been awesome. What's the problem?
I don't know. Let's see. Lucroy has two homers in the last 45 games.
Oh, here we go. Cherry picking stats. That's your new voice. That's your voice.
I hate you!
Oh my God!
Oh God, you're the worst.
I don't even know what voice that was.
I hate you so much. All right, I'll put Jonathan. I'll add Jonathan LaCroix. I'm gonna put after 101. I'm gonna do dot dot dot, and then I'm gonna do a 220. Jonathan LaCroix.
One more I found real quick. I'm going to pull up his numbers lately, but why do you not have Brian Dozier in here?
He was another on the alternate list. First of all, he wasn't in the top 100 for the first half of the season. His stats haven't been that good. They've been okay.
Oh, it's because he started awful.
Right, yeah, but... I mean, those stats do count. I mean, yes, he started.
Well, they don't count for rest of season ranks.
That doesn't mean. No, I know, but that doesn't mean he can't be awful again in August. I mean, he has the potential to be awful. He can be awful. Can we agree on that? Can we at least agree on that, JP?
He could be awful. Look at me doing ranks.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I hate you.
Last 32 games.
Yeah. Now, Dozier, I almost put in Dozier. Dozier okay. And Kipnis were real close. I was like, you know, like I said a little bit ago, like the last 30 or so guys on the top 100 are really not that different than the 20 guys right after that I left off. Like, if you wanted Dozier, instead of Adam Duvall, I could totally understand it. Even though I have Adam Duvall in my top 100 and I don't have Dozier, they're essentially the same thing. And the same with like Chris Davis or Yelich or Lamb. Well, Lamb I like a lot. I like Lamb. But, you know, like a lot of these guys are really not that different.
I'd probably take Dozier over Tulo at the middle infield. But last 32 games, 311. Wow, with 8 homers and 4 steals for Dozier. So, looks like he's doing a little bit better. And that's even with a cold July. He was just red hot in June there. All right, Grant, I've got 2 more players I don't see. I'm going to go real fast. I don't see Ben Revere or Denard Span. No! Where are they? Which one would you rank higher rest of the season?
I think you got to go... I think you got to go Span, even though it could easily be Revere. I think I think Span, you're going higher.
Why are you answering this like it was a real question? Get out of here, Greg. Come on.
No, wait. I didn't realize one thing about Span and Revere. I'm just looking at them on the player radar. I didn't realize how they're both so... damn awful.
Yeah, they've both been terrible. You want to know why? It's because they're the same player. If one of them's bad, they're both bad.
Oh, wait a minute. Wow. They, you know who Denard Span has been as good as? Chris Archer. Oh, who I traded you for David Price!
Was it 1-for-1? Get out of here.
Oh, that's right. You got Shizik. He's been terrific.
I got a save the other day, I think.
Yeah, no, Steve Shizik is great. He will totally be closing in September and won't have a 6-year ERA. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that was a good trade, James. Don't gag me!
Don't gag me!
Oh, my God. I so wish that guy who followed you into the bathroom would have shanked you.
Hey, Brewers fan! Turns into a scene from Oz.
What do you think of LaCroix now?
Alright, we've got to wrap this show there.
Eat that urinal cake, you Brewers fan!
That's what would happen if I didn't give the ball away. Alright, hey, thanks everyone for listening. We gotta get out of here. Everyone enjoy the rest. Only a couple more days of the All-Star break now. Get ready for the second half. And Greg, I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, it's probably best if you were to tell me like some of the people you're going to cover, because I'm going to have to then type and bring up people myself. It's not ideal. You drop the ball, JP.
Fine. All right. You want me to go through a list real quick?
Yeah, you probably should.
Okay. I left Kershaw number 1, so Kershaw versus Scherzer, and I really like Bumgarner.
Kershaw.
That's just more injury.
Kershaw. Okay. Go ahead.
Why do you not have Altuve higher? See, this is ruining the podcast. Why don't you just type it while I just have it? Oh my God, you're such a diva. Are you? Am I doing a podcast with Jose Canseco? What is this?
Okay, all right, fine. I don't care. Fine, let's do it.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.